In John 17, starting in verse 1, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you have granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Now I want you to notice right off here at the bat is an understanding that we all need to understand have about salvation. You have granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Jesus died for all men. That's what that authority of over all people is about. He died for everybody. He didn't die just for a select few. He died for everybody. He was granted authority over all people. Now this tells us some things. We're going to learn as we go on that through Jesus' death, it tells us that the love of God was shed abroad to all men through Jesus Christ. But not all men receive it. And this is why it says that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. What does it mean that he will give eternal life to all men that you've given him? It means it's simply this. Nobody can come to the Father except through Jesus. That's coming to eternal life. But nobody can come to Jesus unless first the Father draws them. And those who accept are the ones who are chosen by God. Those who accept that drawing are chosen by God. But you know what? That authority was given to him for all people. All men. Jesus told us the Son of Man will be lifted up and all men would be drawn to him. That means that every man is given that measure of faith to believe. And that's what's going on in the spiritual that we don't see. This is why we depend upon that gospel message for God, because God has already given them the faith to believe it. But whether they use that faith to believe it, that gift of faith, that portion of faith has been given and made accessible to all men through the sacrifice of Christ. But not all of them will receive it because they choose not to. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And we've talked about this before. It's not about what you know, it's who you know. You can only come to know God the Father through his Son Jesus. This is why Jesus told them, and when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus is the exact representation of his being. Jesus is the bridge between man and God. You can only come to God through Jesus. He is the way, not a way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Now, when you use that gift of faith, that's given to all men through his sacrifice, you can enter into that communion that with the Father through Jesus that only comes through his Father through his body and blood. And this is how you come to know him, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You come to know him. And in coming to know him, you come to know his will. Not just his general will we learn from reading the scripture, but his specific will where you're concerned. Because you're in fellowship with him through Jesus. Jesus has restored that communion with God. Where in the beginning Adam would walk with God and was be cut off from that communion because of sin, now we can enter into that communion. And better yet, God has given us a portion of his own Spirit to dwell inside us to enhance that communion. Right? So this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Jesus said, if you have me, you have the Father. I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Now, this ends arguments here. If people would read it. This ends arguments. Jesus didn't mess up. He completed the work that God gave him to do. When did God give him that work to do? Did it give it to him when he was born as a man? Or did he give it to him in heaven? He gave it to him in heaven. Because he goes on to say, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. That's the glory that Jesus has. The glory he had with God before the world began. Before the world began. Let those words sink into your consciousness. Before the world began. The glory I had with you. Jesus isn't just a man. He's not just a good man. He's not an angel. He is what we're told in the beginning, the Word was with God and the Word was God. In Philippians 2, he being in very nature God, humbled himself to take on the form of a man. He is God by very nature. Glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world began. Now we see even here, there's a separateness between Jesus and God. They're individuals. They're individuals. Notice the way Jesus chose his words. He didn't say, glorify me as you, before the world began. Glorify me as a part of you, before the world began. He didn't even say, glorify me now with the glory we had before the world began. He said, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had. The glory I had with you before the world began. I. Not we. Not us. Not you. I. Jesus had glory and was with the Father before the world began. Jesus, by very nature, is God. You understand that? And it's telling you, quite frankly, that's what it is right here. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. Did God give you to Jesus? Ask yourself. Did God give you to Jesus? You granted him authority over all men that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. All those you have given him. Did God give you to Jesus? If he did, you're not of this world. You were chosen out of the world. You're not of this world. I revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. This isn't just talking about the disciples. It applies to you now too. Did God give you to Jesus? Then you're no longer of this world. Are you? Let me read you something that goes right along with this in John 1. What are you really born of? And this is what you got to gravitate to and get a hold of in your mind and your heart and your spirit. This is what you got to pray back to God. This is what you got to realize. He came to that, verse 11, which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. What kind of children? Children of God. What kind of children? Children of God. Children born not of natural descent, that is of the flesh, nor of human decision, no man decided you'd be born, or of a husband's will. It wasn't just because your father loved your mother. It wasn't just because your father, your earthly father, wanted some kids. It wasn't of a husband's will. It wasn't of a human decision. It wasn't just of natural descent. But you're born of God. Born of God. Children of God. To all who received him and believed in his name, gave them the power to become children of God. So that you can honestly call God your Father. Listen to what Jesus said. I revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. You're not of this world. You were taken out of this world. You were given out of this world to Jesus. You belong to him. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Right there, that marks a child of God. They have obeyed God's word. That marks a child of God. They have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. They know God is first in the chain, don't they? You sent me. Everything you have given me comes from you. They know that now. God is first in the chain. It was by God's will that all of this happened. It was by the Father's will. Not a husband's will of the flesh. Not of a human decision, but God's will. That Father's will. Now they know that everything you've given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. Jesus is telling you, and this is a remarkable thing that you need to understand about Jesus, that Jesus, who being in very nature God, glorify me now with the glory I had with you before the world began, very nature God, had glory, very nature God, laid it aside, as it says in Philippians 2. Stripped himself, emptied himself, to take on flesh, and humble himself before his Father, to take on the form of a man. And he lived as a man. He didn't live as God. He lived as a man. Now, how is a perfect man supposed to live? A man that God approves of. See, man is dependent on God. Man is dependent on God. He shouldn't be dependent on himself. That's a rebel. A man who depends on himself and doesn't depend on God says, I don't need God, and justifies himself. That's a rebel. Jesus was a man who pleased God. The divine voice was heard on several occasions saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. He lived as a man who pleased God. Now, if he couldn't call upon his own deity, he laid it aside to become a man. Remember, a man had to fulfill the law, so Jesus could not call on his own deity. It messed everything up. He had to live as a man would have to, dependent upon the Father. And in this he pleased God. And it tells you that right here. Now they know that everything I have that you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. I didn't tell them what I wanted to tell them, God. As Jesus, God. I told them what you wanted to tell them. I gave them the words you gave me to tell them. I didn't rely on my own ideas as a man. I didn't rely on my own ideas as your son. the Son of God. I didn't rely on my own ideas apart from you being the very nature God. I relied on what you told me to tell him. I didn't speak of my own. I spoke your words. As a man would have to. A man who pleased God. The Father spoke through Jesus. As a man. I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you. Here it is. Jesus isn't the man from Nazareth. He's the man from heaven. For the first man, Adam, was a living soul, but the last Adam, meaning there won't be another, is a life-giving spirit. The one from below speaks as one from below, John tells us. But the one from above is above all. Jesus was the man from above. He wasn't Adam. The flesh and blood. He was a man that was born from above. He wasn't born of Adam, of that sin. He's the new man. He's the man God always intended. And as we have borne the image of Adam, we must now bear his image. I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you. That's what the Jews didn't know. He told them, where I've come from, you don't know. Where I'm going, you can't follow. And they said, isn't this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter, whom we know? What does he mean? We don't know who he is. And what does he mean, where he's going, we can't follow? What, is he going to kill himself? They only seen him as the man from Nazareth. He was the man from heaven. Nicodemus even told him, we know you're from God. Because no one can do these signs you're doing unless God is with him. And he told him, no, you don't, Nicodemus. You think you know I'm from God. You'd have to be born again to know where I came from. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. Marvel not what I say to you. You must be born again. Went on to tell him that everyone who is born of the Spirit is like the wind. You don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it's going. And that's the way you are now. Do you have faith to believe that? People can look at you in the flesh, and they don't know where you come from. They think that's Jerry from Tennessee. They think that's Teresa from New York. They think that's Shilda from Illinois. But that's not. That's Shilda from heaven. That's Jerry from heaven. That's Teresa from heaven. Because you were born now from above. We once knew Jesus after the flesh. No longer do we do so. We know where he came from. He was sent by God. They knew with certainty that I came from you. They believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. Now, this is cool. This is cool. Because I don't think people, when they read this, really get the oomph from it. They really get the full understanding from it, what Jesus is saying here. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours. Jesus says, in other words, Jesus is saying to his Father, see all these people? See all of this? It's all yours, Father. Every inch in me. Every inch in me belongs to you. Whether it be physical or whether it be spiritual, whether it be glory or whether it be humility, it all belongs to you. Everything I have is yours. But, and all you have is mine. Listen to the power of that. All you have is mine. You tell me Jesus was just a man. He was just a good man. He was just a good prophet. All you have, Father, is mine. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. Jesus is still in the body of a man when he's praying this. All you have is mine. How much is all? How much is all? It's everything. It's God's glory, His dominion, His power, His love, His very self. All I have is yours, Father, and all you have is mine. Don't skip over that lightly. And you wonder why Jesus said to Philip, when Philip said, "Show us the Father and we'll believe," "Have I been with you so long, Philip, you don't know me?" Show us the Father and we'll believe. "Have I been with you so long that you don't know me?" All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer. But they're still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me. See, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine. Protect them by your name, the name you gave me. Wow. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The name you gave me, your name. Protect them. I'm coming to you, God. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Now here's another one. Don't skip over it. So that they may be one as we are one. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. You know, you need to med on to this for like 10 years. You need to get like down on your knees on that wood and meditate on this for like 10 years. And realize the power of what Jesus just said. Realize the depth of what Jesus just said. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Jesus' prayer for us is to be one as Him and the Father are one. One with another. You know, He laid down the example. How can we be one with another? You can as long as you're trying to be first. You understand that? You cannot be one with each other as long as both of you are trying to be first. You can only be one with another if both of you are willing to be last. Unity only comes through humility, not pride. Not exalting yourself. It's one of the big things the body of Christ needs to understand. But the second part of this, Father, protect them by your name. By the power of your name, the name you gave me. Protect them so that they may be one. How are we protected? I want you to think about this. Meditate on it 10 years if you have to. Pray about it for 10 years. Protect them. Protect them by the power of your name. The name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. See, read the whole thing together. What is the clue to us being one as they are one? You can't do it of yourself. You know, we can talk about adopting the attitude of Jesus by making ourselves nothing, by making ourselves last. We can talk about that. That's part of it. But what does it really mean? Put it together. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. It shows our dependence upon God as a people called by His name. It shows that God will exalt His name through us. It shows that the work of our unity is God's doing. The real power of our unity is by being a people called by His name, the name He gave Jesus. How many of you can pray that? Father, as Jesus asked us, protect us by the power of your name, the name you gave Jesus, that we may be one as you are one. It's only through the power of being called by the name that was given to Jesus . See, God's going to back up His own name. We're protected through His name, being a people of His name. What do you got to do to get in that protection? What do you got to do to get in that protection? That's what you need to pray about. That we may be one. As Him and the Father are one. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one, as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. What are some of the examples of that? Because if you can see it through how Jesus kept them, His disciples, safe through the name He gave them, for the name that was given Jesus, God's name, He kept them safe through that name. See, this is a whole concept the church doesn't even know exists. Us being kept safe through the power of His name. Through the power of His name that He gave Jesus. Us being protected by the power of His name. See, when Jesus identified with us, we could identify with Him. Jesus kept His disciples safe by the power of His name, the name God gave Him. Because no one of the powers and principalities, no one above or below, would dare touch God's anointed one. Until God. Nobody took Jesus' life from Him. He laid it down, remember? He was protected by the power of the name. Remember where it tells us in Hebrews, the name he has received? To what angel have I ever said, today you'll be my son, or today I will be your father, or today I have begotten you? But he was way ahead of them, even as the name he has inherited was better than theirs. The son inherits his father's name. We are called the people of God. There's something here that I can't even begin to relay to you about the power of being called by God's name. The protection afforded you. The power to make us one. That no division can come in. That nothing from the outside can come in divide. That power to be one. Even as Him and the Father are one. Jesus didn't pray this lightly. He meant what He said. Look around. Do you see this true in Christians? That we're one, even as in Him and His Father is one? What does that mean to you? It means you is there's something still to be done. Huh? So what do we have to understand? We have to understand what it means to be protected by His name. The name He gave Jesus. We have to understand something still, don't we? I will remain in the world no longer, but they're still in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction. So that the scripture may be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of this world. What did we say? Any more than I am of this world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but protect them from the evil one. Whoa! You know what? Right there. Pre-tribulation rapture bites the dust. It bites the dust right there. God doesn't have to take you out of this world to keep you safe. You're protected by the power of His name. God didn't have to take you out of this world to keep you safe. And Jesus said, I pray that you don't take Him out of the world. I'm not praying so you'll take Him out of the world. But what? They are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. See, the object of Jesus coming back and us meeting Him in the air is for our resurrection when He comes back. That's when this show is over with. And there is no reason for anybody to leave this world before that for protection's sake, is there? Because Jesus said, I pray that if you get to escape, why not the disciples? Why did they have to go through their persecution? Oh, but God said He didn't appoint us to wrath. Well, somebody sure killed them. Somebody sure killed almost all of them. And most of the ones who believed in them. They weren't good enough to go. I'm coming to you now, but these things I say while I'm still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, For they are not of this world any more than I am of this world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. And you know, you need to say this to yourself about 30 times in prayer every day to understand where you belong, that you're a citizen of heaven. You're not of the world any more than Jesus is of the world. Do you believe it? When are we going to start living like this world isn't our home? Wow. Heavy stuff, huh? They're not of the world even as I'm not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. You know what sanctify? You know why it comes right after? That word sanctify comes right after they're not of the world any more than I'm of the world. You know why that word sanctify comes there? Separate them, Father, unto you. Sanctify them. That's what sanctification means. Separate it unto God. Separate them from this world. They're still in it, but they're not of it. I'm leaving them in it. I don't pray you take them out of it, but sanctify them. Separate them. Come out and be you separate. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them. They're not of the world any more than I'm of the world. And my prayer is not that you take them out of the world in some rapture or any other way, but you protect them from the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. See? Separate them unto you by the truth. Because when you hold up to the truth, the world's going to get away from you. When you uphold the truth, the world's going to get away from you. Because they don't want to hear it. That'll show you just how many friends you got in this world. Start telling them the truth. Start telling them the truth. And your word is truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Wow. You realize the heaviness of what Jesus just said there? For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. I lived a life worthy of you, Father. I was in the world, but I was not of the world. I've completed the work you gave me to do. I didn't compromise. I didn't live like the sinners do. I didn't do what the sinners did. I was separated unto you, and because I was separated unto you, you have received me as a righteous man, and as a righteous man, I can lay down my life for that sacrifice to pay for their sin so that they too may be truly sanctified. And I'm sending him into the world just like you sent me in the world. You know what? You want to know purpose? There's more purpose there than you can shake a stick at. You were sent in the world the same way he is. Jesus has sent you the same way the Father sent him. Jesus has sent you into this world the same way. So you better live a sanctified life as he did. Because you're sent here. You have a purpose here. You're not here of the will of men or your own will or your own desires or to have your good time or to build your mansion. You're here on God's direction because you're not of this world. If God didn't want you here to fulfill a purpose, you'd be up there. Where did Jesus go when he fulfilled his purpose down here? He went up there. You wouldn't be on this world if God didn't have a purpose for you, because God's people are a people of purpose. You've been sanctified unto him to do what he wants you to do. You're sent out into this world to accomplish something. You have purpose. And if you think your purpose is to live for yourself, you've missed the whole point. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone, This is where we understand that we are included in Jesus' prayer. It's not just for those disciples that he started out with. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. And that's everybody in here. We have believed in Christ through the message of these apostles. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Don't you want to just ask, where is it? Where is that glory? Where is it? Where is that glory? I've given them the glory you gave me. Where is it? Sanctify yourself unto God, and you'll see it. Remember, you've got to fit into this prayer. Separate yourself unto God. Give yourself in submission to God, and you'll see the glory that he gave Jesus. It'll be all over you. I pray also for them who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you have sent me. May they be brought. May they be brought. And that will happen. This will be a church that is brought into unity. He says it right here. All those people who are lying to you and telling you you'll never see the church stand up on its hind legs again are lying. They will be brought to unity. They will be. We will see the church of Christ apparent in the earth through what they say and what they do as a sanctified bride under Christ. We will see it. It will be. Jesus' prayers do not go unanswered. Jesus does not lie. It will be. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you have sent me. What is that going to tell? What does that tell you? The world's going to see it. It's not going to just be some invisible thing that only us Christians know about. The world's going to see it. The reason that we're going to be brought to unity is so the world may know who God has sent. The world will know it. So they will see the church of Christ shining brightly. They will. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Wow. Heavy stuff. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And you know that, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. And that's what it's all about. That the world can be saved through him. Not that the world's condemned, but the world might be saved through him. Understand it. And this is what we've got to show the world. That love of God through Jesus Christ. So we will come to a complete unity. We will. We will. It's time to put on that faith hat and agree with Jesus. We will. And that's what we need to pray, is that agreement. Amen? It's a good place to stop.